veteran
and his emotional support Canadian
scream into the void about the Mormon Church. If you want to reach us, we are on Instagram at NotSoPeterPriesthood.
And you can email us at NotSoPeterPriesthood@gmail.com.
Thanks for joining us. Enjoy!
Bye!
Yeah, I can sit in the car forever, though. I don't know. I took that trip to Yosemite, and I drove, and I was like, by the end of driving that long, I was just like, no, I'm done.
Yeah. I was passenger princess yesterday, and it was so uncomfortable. I never sit on that side. It's my car, right? So I always am driving, and I was like, everything's backwards over here. What is this? I open my window. The window's locked. I don't know what to do. I mean, I got some good reading time done, but
still.
Still, it was weird. And like, it was odd.
My coworker makes fun of me for car sitting because I just sit in my car forever. You know this because I'll be at the gym.
I get most of my Marcos from you.
Yeah, I'll be at the gym and I'm just yep.
I love it.
Yeah, and then by the end of it, I'm like, I'm not gonna go in.
It was a mental workout today talking about all the things.
Yeah.
I know. I usually like call or Marco people while I'm driving and like then people will call me back and I'm like, no, I'm home now. I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
That was an in the moment type. Like I'll like call my mom and she'll like text me and be like, I'm busy. And then she'll like try and call me back later and I'm like, sorry, I'm busy. I have time for you. Sorry.
The window is a very small window.
Very small window. Very small window where I feel like actually speaking to people.
As you're on a podcast. But I guess this is different because it's like, it's me.
Yeah, it's totally. It's just you and I chatting. Nobody else is listening.
Yeah, nobody. This isn't going out into the world. And.
No. All right, we have new neighbors that have two golden retrievers, so if you can hear that, it's because they see Walter walking around our yard and they're like, food. And then he has to stand there and go, I'm not food, I'm a big strong puppy. the whole thing.
Oh, the joys. All right, do you have any news, anything we want to talk about before we dive in or opening exercises?
I was in Lethbridge yesterday for a family reunion and my little guy was like having a moment. He gets very overwhelmed and there was a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So we went for a drive and I showed him like the Tim Hortons where Pat and I met.
Oh,
and then cute. I like showed him like the house that I used to live in when I first started dating Pat before we moved in together, and he was just like, "This is so cool, Mom."
Aww.
But then I like had to do like turn around, and there's like the steak center where I used to go to like singles ward.
Ew.
And I was like, "Oh no, well that was fun. Let's go back to Grandma's house now."
It was fun until it wasn't.
Yeah, I was like, oh right, yeah.
There's the singles ward that I used to go to was in a seminary building.
Oh.
So I'll pass that every once in a while. I'm just like flip it off.
I didn't go far enough south to see the Institute building that I used to go to. I was like, I've had enough. We're done. We're going back to the north side. See you later.
All right. Well, so I did post about this on the podcast Instagram story. So you did because you answered.
Did I? Okay. I thought so. I was like, wait, why does this sound familiar?
It's about missionary folklore. So, and this is like, there's all sorts of folklore, like in general in the church, but like missionary folklore the Bigfoot stuff and like the three Nephites, all that stuff. But this is like specific to missionaries, like the stuff that you hear, like little old wives' tales that you hear from every mission has them, and it's weird to see that there's like every mission
has like say, their little.
They do, but they're all like the same stories.
Like urban legends and stuff.
That urban legends, yeah.
Oh, I love it. I'm so excited. So, I'm not going to do therapy today, maybe. Yay!
Yeah. This will be a lighter one. That's good.
Oh, thank God. It's been a long week.
I know. Well, I knew that, and I was like, well we're going to...
Me texting you that I was bawling at work didn't.
Yeah.
I feel no emotion ever. Suddenly, water is leaking from my eyes. What is,
what is this?
Why the ucky feeling?
Things. What? But this is the idea I got from it was from an article from the Salt Lake Tribune by Peggy Fletcher Stack, who's amazing, and David Noyce and Tamara Kemsley. But they, and some of it reads like a kind of a transcript. So I'm just going to take, I'm not going to say who's saying it because that just gets redundant, but mm-hmm. I'll just kind of go through that. And then there's, I did get like a list of like other missionary folklore that I found. I didn't get a whole lot of feedback on Instagram, which is fine. I found enough, but
yeah.
Let's see. All right. A few groups exist in the world like missionaries of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. More than a million of them have served in the church's history. So missionary stories are practically as ubiquitous in the 194-year-old global faith as soaring steeples, crying babies, and tiny sacraments cups. We know they love a steeple. There's this...
I love you, but I keep like that. He's laughed just then.
The, there's this guy on, he's a Mormon on Twitter that he'll just keep posting like temple pictures. Now I'm always, just, I always troll him. And I was like, ooh, look at that steeple. It's so big and crazy. You know, I'm just like, oh, I love it.
Compensating for something. The Mormon's compensating for something.
Right. Some accounts are inspiring, some are scary with odes to devilish humans and even Satan himself. Some are funny and some are, well, tell on tell. And short on truth. Tall on, oh my God. Tall on tell and short on truth. Ooh, that was a rough one.
Well, it's Sunday. We're both chugging coffee and trying to alive ourselves.
Girl, I had two glasses of whiskey, Jack and Coke last night. Mm-hmm. And it feels like I had a whole, you could have think that I was like, had a blackout night the night before because
really?
I just felt.
You know what, the other night I had a beer, but I think I hadn't eaten enough that day, and yeah, all night I just had like mad anxiety. I was like, the world is ending. Like, it was weird. So I feel Elia, like sometimes it just hits in a weird way. Hey,
yeah. All right, in these excerpts edited for clarity and style from the Salt Lake Tribune's latest Mormon Land podcast, folklorist Christine Blythe and her husband and fellow folklorist Christopher Blythe, he's the author of Terrible Revolution, Latter-day Saints and American Apocalypse, discuss what they learned from collecting these narratives. So this is from a podcast, so I'm stealing from another podcast. You can, but you know, it's out there in the internet, so it's free, fair game.
Fair game.
Also, it's not meant to be like.
You said who it was, so it's not like we're not being open
being credit,
about that.
Yeah. That's right. All right. So what's the difference between folklore and history? Christine, certainly history informs folklore, or there are places where those two intersect. But when we think about folklore, we're thinking about the traditions of everyday people. And when we're talking about the academic study of folklore, we're talking about looking at those vernacular traditions and then tracing variants as those traditions move from one generation to the next or from one person to the next. When someone thinks about history, they're usually thinking about what really happened. The set, you know, the events of time, and there's often in the past been an emphasis on institutions. In folklore, we're less interested in institutions, we're more interested in people on the ground, and we don't really care whether they happened or not. What value do missionary stories have, both the real and the rumored? A mission is a really special place because here we have young people discovering their religion over time. They're immersed in their scripture. They're immersed in talking about it. These stories tell us what they value, what they're concerned about, what they love, what their hopes are. Sometimes rumored stories don't tell us what's really going on. They tell about the internal life of these young people. Which is interesting. Because, like, the mission is, like, you're just, you eat, sleep, and breathe the church. It's like, and it's you're like a kid, so you're like a sponge of information. Yeah.
I honestly think missions are more for the missionary than actually, like, bringing people to the gospel. Like, it's.
Absolutely.
It, yeah. It's
like solidifies the fanaticism of the church. It solidifies it makes you, like, because no matter how you feel about the church, even if you go in as, like, a, quote, lukewarm, you know, you're just kind of like, you're going to come out feeling like, oh, the church is amazing. We've all seen the returned missionaries that are just like, oh, I love, and they're nerds, and they're just like.
Yeah, I can't talk to, not anymore, but when I was in the church, I couldn't talk to returned missionaries for, like, they needed a couple months to, like,
they need to
acclimate back to being normal.
Yeah, they need, exactly.
Yeah.
And I can still, I was talking to Katie, actually, about, we were talking about kids for some reason, and being, like, child-free, childless, whatever.
And I see why I wasn't in this conversation. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm told. Because you're pro-kid. I'm just kidding. No.
Talking about kids without... No, I'm just kidding.
But we were both talking about how, like, when we were Mormon, we both wanted, like, we wanted troves of kids, you know, like, just... I remember distinctly saying, I want at least six, you know. And there's a family that so the husband is like a year older than me, and then the wife is like a year younger than me. So I'm like, right. But I knew both of them. One of them was our neighbor. Both of them were in my ward. But they have 10 kids, and they're in their 30s. Like, he's probably 40 something now, 42 probably. She is not even 40 yet and has 10 kids. And every time they post a family photo, I have to count them again.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
That's so many kids.
And I just don't understand how they do it.
No, that would be, like, absolutely.
How do you? Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, there's a guy he's a couple years older than me in school. And yeah, him and his wife have, I think they just had their 9th.
Oh, wow.
And, like, I'm 2 years younger than me, so he's, like, your age, yeah.
But to the point is that, who I was in the mission versus now, obviously, is very different. Mm-hmm. But, like, the fact that, like, while I was in the church, and especially while I was a missionary, that was what I was focused on, was that I'm going to get married and have, like, 6 kids. Like, it comes, you get programmed.
And now, this morning, you were, like... Don't wake up with the mini asshole.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let the asshole sleep.
He was such a dick last night. Oh, my. Seriously. Like, I love my children, but there are days where I'm like, don't even breathe heavy because, like, you need to sleep because you are out of control.
Yeah. Listeners, you know you're good friends with someone when you can call their kids an apple.
An apple.
And she laughs instead of.
I know my other bestie, I said something to her kid. I was like, hey, quit being a dick. And he was like, oh. Andy. I was like, no, I'm serious. And she just laughed. She's like, yeah, stop being a dick.
All right. So these stories tell us a lot about Latter-day Saints what Latter-day Saints value. They're stories about conversion, kind of where the faith story begins for a lot of people. I'm a convert. Chris is a convert. So our stories, I think it's funny. Christopher and Christine. I didn't even think of that. Anyway.
Chris and Chris.
Chris. So our stories begin with missionaries, but there are also stories about young Latter-day Saints. So many of whom have been nestled in the Intermountain West, traveling the globe and having their first experience outside of their homes and interacting with people that are unlike themselves. I used to say, oh, I'm going to the exotic land of Florida, you know?
Oh, I know this family. Their daughter just got called to go to Jamaica. She's paler than me. She's got red hair. I'm like, oh, honey. Oh, baby girl.
Just a year and a half of sunburn. Just Like, hey, I'm going to come back with cancer, you know? Like,
it's one thing to, like, go to Jamaica and, like, hide out, but to live there? And to just...
There's just no escape, and she's going to have to be out there and...
Working hard, and... knocking doors? I mean, it's a very small island, so it's not like she's going to have a car to drive. Like, you can see from one side to the other during certain seasons, I think, but...
The sister missionaries that are now my besties now, I guess. I don't know. I asked them where they're from. The one is from California, and I'm like, oh, cool.
Oh.
And the other one is from Arizona. And I was like, oh, you're like, and it was like 90 degrees. I don't know what that is in Celsius, but the,
anyways, I 90, don't know.
Oh, you're probably still feeling like this is cold weather. And she's like, yeah, it's like, it. And then the next time I saw them, there was a new one, and she was from Blackfoot. And I was like, oh, like Blackfoot, Idaho.
Oh, that's odd.
Wait. I think she might have been like a service missionary type.
Oh,
thing.
Yeah,
like,
maybe. Hey, yeah.
Like a war missionary. They even then they get tags now. I don't know. It, huh, whatever.
Weird. Yeah, my sister was just up from Arizona, and I was like in shorts and a t-shirt, and she had a hoodie on. She's like, are you freezing? I was like, no, it is 25 degrees. I'm great. Thank you. Her baby was so mad. He was like, my toes are cold.
Oh.
Right. Come here, I'll hold you. It's so cold here.
But to their point, like, you, I mean, I remember, like, being, when I went to Florida, even Florida alone was, like, a whole different world.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first time, it wasn't the first time I'd been away from, like, Utah and Idaho, but it was, like, the first time by myself, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, you're never really alone on a mission, but, like.
But it wasn't, like, a family vacation that you were just there for a short time, right? Yeah. It's different, for sure. Brutal.
Missionary narratives are reaching well across the globe, and it doesn't matter whether someone served in Nevada or Japan or Africa. The same legend is making its way to those countries and back, and so you have people from all over the world and other groups with other perspectives chiming in and either adding to that narrative or criticizing that narrative.
Mm.
Christopher is apparently a BYU professor teaching folklore. He says, I have my students always do a big project. Last semester, I had a student collect stories from different geographic locations across the world that told the story of a convert discovering a Book of Mormon with its cover ripped off. He reads this trashed book and then is converted. Then 10 years later, he meets the missionaries and immediately converts. The original story is of a real guy, but it's been reset in Mexico and Brazil and Germany, all these different locations.
Doesn't that throw up a bit of a red flag?
Oh,
that,
yeah.
Like...
Also, imagine being that guy that, like, this whole folklore is being spread about you. Do you remember?
Yeah.
I remember when I was in a missionary, it was like the big thing was, oh, Shakira is she used to be Mormon because of her one song.
I've never heard this.
Really?
Yeah.
Her one song was whatever, wherever, whenever, whatever. Oh my God. Wherever, whatever. Anyway, she talks about two being heartbroken by two these men that are in her country, but like, and they're there for 2 years or something. And anyway, it's very light. Like, oh, she's obviously talking about the church, but there's no way. Like,
like they take an inch and run a mile with it. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. It's like the same thing of, and I don't know if you've heard. But what's his name? Post Malone lives in Utah.
Oh, yeah.
And a missionary gave him a Book of Mormon.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, I'm
like
going to read it.
And it was, like, all over the news, and, like he's not going to read it, dude.
No. He probably handed that to one of his people and was like, get us out of here.
Yeah, he's just a nice guy, from what I know. But
yeah, that's all I've heard.
Yeah. But I just thought it was hilarious that was news. I was like, really?
Of course.
But you know that's going to go everywhere. It's going to be like a... and missionaries are going to be talking about that forever. Oh,
yeah.
Malone's going to get baptized. No.
Yeah. What a legend, the guy that gave him the.
So they ask, what is one of the favorite missionary stories? And this is interesting. Okay. So Christine says, there's a group of missionaries, typically elders somewhere. It could be any state or country around the world. Some subset of elders decide that they are going to form a secret society. Maybe they're the Gadianton robbers, the bad guys in the Book of Mormon. Maybe they are the 12 apostates or whatever they name themselves. Have you heard of this at all?
It's like niggling something at the back of my brain. Yeah.
Forgot about this, but there was stuff like, I remember people talking about stuff like this in my mission too, like, oh, they're apostate, and there's that issue, like the judgment of like, oh, you, I hear they listen to worldly music, and I'm like, okay.
Worldly music, yeah, they went to a movie.
There was a lot of so and the mission, like, right before I got there, apparently my mission, the Florida Tampa mission, was very like overrun with quote apostates. But then you would hear this like thing of, oh, they sent like 12 missionaries home, but you never hear about this like in church.
There's no proof of it.
There's
yeah.
No proof of it. You can just say that stuff to keep people in line and obedient and be like, oh, they will actually send you home.
Mm-hmm.
And there was always rumor of like, oh, elders and sisters getting together and like having like little, I don't know, orgies or something. And like, they're virgins. They're not going to have like.
That's not going to be their first experience.
Also, if they do, it's just going to be a bunch of soaking. Like, it's not going to be like. Or it's just going to be fucking awkward as hell because they're all just going to be like, I don't know how to touch people, you know. I'm just.
Yeah, I know of a missionary who his companion was going on a date, so he went to a movie. I was like, how is that? But then there's all the rumors of like, oh, 12 missionaries got sent home. And I'm like, clearly not. Like,
and it's always 12. It's the, cause mm-hmm. you, it's because it's the 12 apostates, the 12 apostles, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So weird. So in this 12 apostates, they usually come up with an initiation rites in which they invite others to join the group. Sometimes that includes leaving the mission field and taking photographs of where they traveled to. So it's, you can't leave the mission area. So in Florida alone, there's like 6 missions, I think, which Florida's not that big of a state. But like, if you were on the border, like in the more central, you could, like, there was a mission, there was an area where you could see Orlando and you could see like the Disney fireworks and stuff every night.
Aww. You're yeah. just like
eh. But it's like you can't go over there because that's the Orlando mission.
Aww. So sad.
I know. And I remember distinctly we could never go to the temple because it was over in Orlando. So it was like,
oh my word.
Yeah. Like you would think that they would relax on that and like let the missionaries go to the temple. That's so important. But we couldn't go for 2 years to the temple.
Wow. Because that was out of your boundaries.
Yep.
Wow.
Now there's a temple in Tampa, but anyway. Let's see. It includes dating girls or hot tubbing with sister missionaries in the baptismal font. These missionaries continue on their way, documenting in some book all of their naughty deeds. And one day, a general authority comes to the mission. Often this is an apostle. For a couple of decades, it's been Jeffrey R. Holland. When I heard this, I was like, oh, this sounds so familiar. Anyway, yeah. And he comes in and he walks down the row of missionaries and divides a set of missionaries to the right and a set of missionaries to the left. He looks to the missionaries on the right and says, good and faithful servants, go on your way. You're doing a great job. He looks to the missionaries on the left and says, you're going home. Elder Holland, or whoever it is, knows by the Holy Spirit who is a part of the secret group. There are a million different variations, and they're told all over the world, and it's always elders. Sisters are almost never a part of the groups.
Even though they were hot tubbing with them in the baptismal font. Isn't that interesting?
But, and then Christopher says, so sisters are portrayed as dumb and elders are disobedient. So the ways that they are describing sisters is, like, sister missionaries are always, oh, they're not smart enough to be, you know, like, women yeah, can't know just, the gospel.
They've just been led astray by these strong men. They're just dumb. They didn't know.
Yeah, and then the elders are always the ways that they defy everything is by being disobedient, and they're always seen as like smart and oh, but they're kids, you know? Like, come on. At the end of the day, it's just kids that are telling you out there that doing what they're told to do. But it's interesting that there's like that sexism still even in the missionary field, like. I can remember distinctly, like, if there were ever sister missionaries in my district, I was, there was like elders that would be like, there's sister missionaries. You know, there's like this, like, they're going to be nagging us and they're going to be like this. They're going to be, and they're always so needy and they just, yeah. Let's see. Why are there so many stories about missionaries who invite a battle with Satan? It's kind of paradoxical, right? One of the most common stories is about a missionary who's doubting whether or not God exists or whether or not Satan exists. So he decides to pray to Satan. I don't know why, but that's what he does. And he's thrown from wall to wall, floor to ceiling, and get really violent and bloody in these stories. In that case, they become cautionary tales about what not to do. Remember our like horror episode that you read that
Yeah, where
story
the
about that
guy was
guy that got
being
thrown across
thrashed
everywhere?
about by Satan and then he
I wonder
healed
if
him
that's where that comes
immediately.
from. Yeah.
I wonder, yeah. Oh, that's a good point, actually, yeah.
Why is the mission field so ripe for these stories? When we talk about demonic stories in general, it's usually where cultures collide. Latter-day Saint missionaries are getting sent out to foreign experiences where the culture that they've been protected in is now coming up against other forces. There's a deep anxiety going on. They're being introduced to other religions, particularly charismatic religions. Latter-day Saints have been apt to think of them as diabolical. So we see a lot of these stories in Brazil and the American South and in the Caribbean. I always heard like of like demon possessions in South America and the missionary saved them. Man, man, man. Probably other places as well. In these stories, you find out that there's a formula they needed to perform, that their priesthood or their endowment enabled them to conquer this. They're for people who are already anxious, already experiencing anxiety, to hear a story of how they conquered it. These are really stories about Latter-day Saint strength. So, anyway, that's the end of that. But now I have a list of some
I'm
of
so excited.
the. So there's the Quorum of the 12 Apostates, and it's usually secret combinations, which is something that's popular for Mormon.
Such a Mormon thing.
Yes, secret combinations. So you have to do something apostate to get in. So literally you just have to like apostate in the mission field is like the bar is very low
Oh,
to be
yeah.
apostate. So
Yeah.
you have to like listen to some worldly music, go to a movie, go on a date or whatever, even just like talk to a person, be away from your companion for longer than whatever. Anyway, obviously, yeah. Oh, and so this one, sisters who put water in their gas tank prayed and it became gasoline. So I skipped a part. So this goes into like the sexism of it, but ethnocentricity is something that we see a lot in LDS missionary folklore. Also, sexism. We have this story that is really popular about sister missionaries in which she's driving out with her companion, and the car breaks down, and there's not a gas station in sight. There's a bottle of water in the car, and they decide that the Lord can do miracles, saying, "Let's pray over the bottle of water. It'll turn into gasoline, and we will go on our way." They put the water in the car, and of course, it completely totals the car. Now, that's kind of humorous, but we have similar stories about elders who are driving their vehicles. They make it from destination A to destination B, and when they arrive, they open up the car, and the engine is missing from the vehicle. The power of the priesthood got them from point A to point B. So we have stories like that are inherently sexist that we should stop telling. So it's just the elders were able to get from point A to point B without a
No
functioning
engine,
engine. The
but stupid sister missionaries
sisters
wrecked the car.
use their faith, yeah, break the car, and they don't get to their destination.
Yeah, of course, just feeding into that. We're stupid little women with our stupid little arms.
Oh, a mission where elders and sisters went full fundamentalist and wanted to start practicing polygamy. Which would be really hard to do in a mission because there's less sisters usually than elders.
Than elders, so, I know.
That'd be very hard to do. That I guess
we just went for dinner with my sisters and I, and then my one sister's husband was there, and I was like, "Hey, all your sister wives and your 10 kids," and he was like, "Yeah." I can joke about it with him. He's very cool. He also ordered me a drink because he's awesome.
A missionary would wake up with headaches every morning, only to find out later that their companion was using chloroform on them at night, so they wouldn't wake up and notice they were gone. Usually called the ether bunny.
Is this someone chloroform
to you? Usually goes with the companion was sneaking out to meet a sister missionary or a female member of the ward. Another variation is that the companion was raping the missionary with headaches, which I've heard that one, and that's very homophobic. Like,
that's terrible.
And that was that one. It's interesting because there's a correlation to when that one started popping up, when it was Prop 8 was happening, which was the
very interesting. Church, yeah. It's funny how like urban legends revolve around actual real things that are actually going on, right?
There's the baptismal font hot tub. And usually the bishop or stake president or seminary teacher come into the building at some odd hour to find sisters and elders using the font as a hot tub.
That water is not warm. And there's nowhere to like sit and chill. What, you're just going to like stand there and you're like waist deep water?
Right before your soaking orgy. I don't know. I'm... sorority initiations to try and send a missionary home. So like sorority sisters in the like at a local university have this like initiation thing to try and get elders sent home. I'm like, that's more like hopeful, like wishing, you know, like it's just like this, ooh, the sorority girls are gonna come try and I'm gonna be the strong missionary.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna withstand them. Yeah, there was a missionary sent home from Cardston for getting it on somebody's. There was like a specific sports facility, and then they were never allowed to go to that sports facility again.
Yeah, interesting how that happens. The thing is with that kind of stuff, that does happen. Like
those are legit things. Yeah,
it's a very horny time as in your life.
That's like why 19 they send you.
Yeah. And they
can't have those hormones rushing.
Like, yeah. Oh, anyway.
I'm dying.
You know someone who knows someone who got a secret assignment from the prophet to go to China to open up a new mission. It's always you know someone who knows someone.
I know someone who told me that his... Yeah.
Let's see. Elder Holland was at a BYU devotional and someone asked him, "Why can't we have beards if Jesus had a beard?" Elder Holland says, "He didn't have one last time I saw him." It didn't happen. I don't know why it's always why he's this like everybody just like has stories on missions about him specifically coming to missions and being kind of a dick. Maybe that's why, because he is a dick. But
he's kind of a dick, yeah.
I would imagine that it would be more like Don H. Oakes, though, to be like, oh, he came in and was like, grumpy old man.
Yeah. So mean looking.
And also very gay, let's be honest. let's see. There was always a really bad area or place that attacked or killed missionaries, so a mission president or apostle had to come down and dust their feet.
Oh, God.
Which is
dusting feet thing, yeah. The dust off and...
All you literally do is, like, I can't remember. There's, like, something you say, like, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus or something. And with the power of the holy priesthood, which I hold or something. And then you have tap your feet, like Dorothy, you know? Like, you click your heels and that's supposedly, like, one of the worst things you can do to somebody because it damns them to hell.
But like the church is so against.
Tell me you're in a cult.
But the church is like, oh, be careful. You can't bring face cards to young women's camp because it's close to the tarot and you're gonna summon demons. Like you're doing spells, sir.
Yeah, exactly. Have you heard of dusting the feet? Also, the fucking weird shit in temple. Come on, let's just like it's all just
seriously. It's all like it's so funny to me.
You can't have certain things in your house because they're demonic, but I'm gonna do this little cute little spell so that like people know you're bad.
Yeah.
Curse you. So weird.
I can remember my mission was actually the first time I'd ever heard that was a thing. I was like, what?
Okay.
Yeah.
Somebody told me about it when I was young. I don't remember why.
It was always just like kind of, ooh, don't ever do that. And I was like, why would I do that? That's dumb. Like, apparently there was a missionary that liked to do it to anybody that you would argue with at doors. It's like, okay.
I would be more concerned about karma. Like, sir.
Yeah.
She will get you.
Yeah. All right, so I remember there's like red, what do they call them? Red areas, but there's, so when it was like downtown Tampa, we couldn't go through. And I remember we were in with a member and like we had to go through that area. And it was like, there's the only thing that was made it like bad was there was a bunch of bars. It was like a bar district. And so I remember driving through it and being like, oh my God, we're in the unsafe zone or whatever. We're not supposed to be here. And like, I was got all like nervous. And I was like looking out the window of the car. I'm like, oh. And I was like,
That makes me think, because like I was just in Lethbridge yesterday and there used to be a street and there was like a bar, a restaurant, a strip club, another bar. Right. And like the Mormon kids were like, that's, don't ever go down that street. But when I was in Lethbridge, the Top Hat, which was the strip club, is now like on the main road, and I'm like,
oh man. Missionaries that flew home took a picture with today's newspaper in front of their house and then flew back to the mission. Apparently, I don't know.
With what money? You live on like $150 a month.
Exactly. What? You got fly home money and fly back money.
And like for what? For what? What's the
purpose of that?
What's the purpose? Go make out with your girlfriend for 14 minutes before you catch your flight home? Like,
yeah.
Okay.
And like they would not notice that you're gone. Come on.
Seriously. And also, like if you're going to fly home, you're just going to stay home. You're not going to get back on a flight if you're that big on like breaking the rules.
Yeah. University in your mission was always the number one party school in the country. Your area always had the most. This is different. It's the number one. I went to, UCF, University of Central Florida. They're like, oh, it's a party school. It was always like, and I'm like,
every school is a party school. They're teenagers on their own for the first time.
Yeah.
Of course, they're all party school. Except for BYU.
Your area always had the most churches per capita. The ghetto. Which I'm like, it's the South. When I was there, I was like, it's the South. And of course, there's a bunch of churches. Like, and they're like just lined up down the street, you know. The ghetto area in your mission was always the murder capital in the nation.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't know if this was on there, but a lot of like that went to like Asian cultures, boys my age or whatever, it was always like there's an Asian mob that's really popular there, and like they were so protected from the mob, and like
wear
certain colors of suits because of the mob.
That's the place. And that sounds very familiar to me. I'm like, oh yeah,
my ex-husband. I was protected because I wore the right color suit, because I was never, people didn't think I was part of the mob. I was like, and you were a white guy, so you know.
Yeah. It could be that. When I was in Japan, speaking of that, like I was in the Navy, I was in Yakuza, and I saw elder missionaries there. I was like,
oh yeah.
And I saw them with their tag, and I was like, oh, don't look away, don't let me contact.
Don't look at me.
But they stood out like a sore thumb because they're
old, oh yeah,
white people that are walking around anyway.
Yeah, like people know who you are. You're not blending in. People don't think that you're a mob member. Don't worry about it. Oh. You're also like 2 feet taller than most everybody else in that particular place. So.
Yep. Someone from the mission meeting are seeing one of the three Nephites, of course, and they usually like help save your car and they help you. They have immortality, but they're out there just helping people with their cars.
Mm-hmm. Why didn't the three Nephites like invest in like Apple so that the church doesn't need tithing? Just a thought.
And why do the apostles not like talk about them ever?
Yeah,
it's just like
I'm sure they have dinner with them all the time.
If they met Jesus, they've got to have met the three Nephites, right?
We just dwell on the fact that we believed that there were these three dudes that had just walked the earth forever. Yeah,
I know.
Like ID is a thing.
Whatever, hanging out with Bigfoot, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah, totally hanging out with Bigfoot. Like I just don't. Did they not feel hungry? They don't need like cash to purchase food. Like they're just magically clean all the time. The
logistics just don't logistics.
Doesn't. Like, it doesn't. Yeah. And if they're one of the people like experiencing houselessness, then like it's such a rabbit hole. I can't even.
Yeah. Missionaries going to the cemetery to fill out fake baptismal records or baptizing turtles to boost numbers. I mean, that kind of stuff does happen. I remember John DeLynn talking about his mission.
Yeah,
where they would like Brazil, like they would go to soccer games and just like baptize a bunch of kids. Let's see. Missionaries that would go to a televised sporting event, mission president would see it, then call them and say, "Hope you had fun at the game. Start packing your bags." Which I've.
Why is the mission president watching the game?
Oh, but see, like the elder missionaries, the like senior missionary. Is that what they call them? Senior. Yeah.
Like older people. Yeah.
Is that what they call them? Senior missionaries?
Yeah, the couples. Yeah.
Senior couples. Yeah. Anyway. Brain fart the very minute. I was like, that really what that doesn't sound right, but it is. Anyway, they can do whatever. Like they're not, it's literally just, they're not held to the same standards as like the younger missionaries.
Oh.
Yeah. I always thought, and I think what it is because the like senior missionaries, they like pay their own way. Like they,
so does
like the younger kids, but like, they're usually supported by family at home.
Mm-hmm.
But like the senior missionaries, like they actually like they leave their house at home and they're and then they actually pay to go there. I don't know, does that make sense? So
yeah,
that's yeah, what the reason
when
why
my grandma went, we like not me because I'm a grandchild, but all the kids paid for her to be on her mission because she wasn't a senior. She's not a senior, she was just a sister missionary, even though she's in her 70s, right?
She was still considered a senior missionary.
Was she? Because she was with, like, young girls.
Oh, was she?
Mm-hmm.
Was it a proselyting mission?
One of them was. One was just, when she went to India, it was service.
Uh-huh.
And then when she went to France, I'm pretty sure it was proselytizing.
Oh, that's wild.
Right? Wouldn't that be strange to be, like, in your 20s?
It's interesting that sisters can do that. Like, the, mm-hmm. But you don't, elders can't do it. Like,
oh, you can't go if you're single, older?
Older male cannot go.
Weird, hey?
Yeah, it's usually that because my grandma went. She went to the Boston. Is that right? Boston, I think. And she was like in her 60s.
Yeah.
And it was more like a service mission type. Like she did maybe, like secretary work for them.
Yeah, yeah. Like my grandma worked in like an office or something, but she lived with a companion and.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Strange, right?
I loved the senior missionaries in my senior.
They're always so sweet, hey.
Yes. The Nigrans, they were so she had this like shampoo that she was like selling everybody, all the missionaries, and she was like, she's like, it'll save you from going bald. Legit, like, that's what her thing was, and I was like, okay, thank you. Oh, and then we also, let's see, there was, just bringing back other memories, there was, like, older, these older sisters, they were in the ward, but their sister, oh my god, what is her name? She was from Hawaii. The two were from Hawaii. And every other P-Day, we would go bowling with her. She would take the missionaries bowling, and then she'd take us out to eat for lunch.
So cute.
Hands down, my favorite memories from my mission, because it was like, and it was like a time to relax and just like not be like feeling like I have to be on, you know? And, what was her name? I can't remember her name. But anyway, but I always loved having like senior missionaries, and like then there was like the older people in the wards that were always so sweet. But also with that whole thing, they had fun. Hope you had fun with the game. You know, I'm just like, that's an asshole thing to say, but like
seriously,
like, oh, you're just gonna send them home for that? But you can, like, I don't know.
That seems a little extreme.
Although I remember, I feel like a couple of years ago I saw there was like a video of missionaries at some like sporting thing, and like people were like, oh, are they going to get sent home? Are they going to use it? Like, they definitely got permission to go. Like, and these days, missionaries are, like, encouraged to go to stuff like that because it's an opportunity to talk to people. And, you know, they're going in their
dress or walking shirts. Advertisement,
yeah.
Although now people are like, oh, yeah, I need to get tickets to that Broadway show.
Oh, is that an advertisement for the musical?
Yeah, the musical? Right. Yeah, Josh Gad. Yeah, I love him. Definitely going to it in November.
Well, this one, an apostle coming to a mission took an elder's name tag off and saw stickers on the back broken in half and said, "We do not worship fake idols." And it made me think of how I carried that picture of Mandy Moore, my little white pocket, my little white handbook. And then I also had stickers on the back of mine. There was a Bugs Bunny one and then like a baseball bat, because the baseball bat, we went to like a spring training game for the NBA. I am so gay. Anyway, it was some sports ball. It was the baseball, the like professional baseball game.
MLB? For the, Major League Baseball?
Yeah, that thing.
You're welcome.
Why did I say MBA? That's
I have no idea.
It's just something. Oh, my God. What'd you say it was? MLB.
MLB.
Ooh, all right, we got there. We got there
finally. We got there eventually. But I'm very proud of you. That was a nice vulnerable moment for you.
Yeah, I was a huge fan. I do like watching baseball, but I'm like, I prefer watching rugby now, especially, oh my God, the Summer Olympics are happening right now, and the rugby, oh my God, duh. Know nothing about what's going on, but I am sure watching very, very,
very closely. Yeah, there's a swimmer from my town I'm pretty excited to watch, so. Oh,
Summer Olympics, God bless the Summer Olympics, because, it's what we needed. I needed.
I love how different we are, that you're like Summer Olympics, and I'm like, oh, I love Winter Olympics because hockey and snowboarding, and then I'm like, oh, that makes sense, actually.
Yeah, Winter Olympics, I'm like, okay, that's cool, but like, can't see any bodies. Summer Olympics, I'm like, oh, yeah, all right. Perfect. Speedos everywhere? Okay, yes. Anyway, listeners are learning a lot about me right now. He doesn't know what baseball is or the MLB is, but he watches Summer Olympics for not the reasons you think it is.
I'm crying.
Side note, I was so obsessed. Oh my god. That stupid. Okay, the Summer Olympics opening ceremony was like the things I've seen of it, incredible. But it got overshadowed by the fucking. It's 4 hours long. I don't have time for that. But I'll watch the highlights. But the thing that's like taking everybody, like Twitter meltdown, like
oh yeah,
it's the Last Supper, quote unquote. Like it was, they'd say it was the Last Supper because there's people standing in a line in front of a runway.
And you're like, what?
And one woman's wearing a like halo looking thing, and she's in the center, and she's doing like this heart thing with her hands. But then, and then Dionysus, like a blue Dionysus, comes out like, mm-hmm. you know, covered in grapes and stuff. Like, yeah, it's clearly
very,
not
very Greek.
It's clearly Greek. Also, where the fuck did the Olympics come from? Greece.
Yeah.
So it's a homage to Greece in a French yeah. way, being very weird and sexual and like whatever.
Because they're French.
Incredible. Mm-hmm. And the Christians are having an absolute meltdown, and it's like, it's not about you.
That's what I don't understand. Like, imagine putting your own country's ideals on a different country and expecting them, like, I'm sorry, did you also expect them to, like, not speak French? Like, yeah. It's just so weird.
Well, then they're like, there's this video going around of, like, this was the Olympics in Russia, and it's showing, like, ballet, and it's very classic, you know, whatever, and I'm like, Russia's known for ballet.
Yeah, the Russian ballet is, like, top of the yeah. top.
So of course they're gonna have ballet, and it's very yeah. classic and very, you know, like yeah. oh, it was so much more classy and okay, well, French people are weird, they're my people. I have French bloodlines, so
yeah, like,
it tracks.
Yeah, like the dancers from the Moulin Rouge were involved in the opening ceremonies. Yeah, like that's
dancers and
cool.
Yeah,
Lady Gaga. Incredible athletes.
Yeah.
Ugh. I follow one on social
also
media.
Also, the fact that it was all on, like, boats going down mm-hmm. the river. And, like, yeah. that is an incredible feat alone to, like, have coordinated stuff happening on the river.
Also, the billions of dollars they paid to clean it up. Like, that.
Yeah.
That's an undertaking. That's a little I think the Hudson's bad. Oh.
Come out with, like, an extra toe or something. Toxic waste in there.
Why is it green, though? Bubbling.